This is Popular Front, a podcast focused on the niche details of modern warfare and underreported conflict with me, Jake Hanrahan. In this episode, we're going to be speaking to researcher Saoirse Tuohy. She's going to be speaking to us about Jane's Revenge, which is essentially a pro-choice militant group in the US. With this news of Roe versus Wade being overturned, it's looking like this group is going to become a lot more active. They've already been carrying out arsons. It's quite interesting. Saoirse's going to explain it all. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/popularfront or go to popularfront.co/support. We need all the help we can get. All right, Saoirse, so we're going to go into the kind of Roe versus Wade situation and why this group we're going to be talking about might become quite relevant. But before we do that, maybe just explain, because I think even some of our listeners will be quite unaware of who this group is, Jane's Revenge. You know, what are they? Where do they come from? What's the deal?
All right. Yeah. So Jane's Revenge is a sort of decentralized group across the country. They're really recent. They popped up within the last month or two. And essentially, they were a reaction to the announcement of the Roe v. Wade decision that got leaked a couple months back by the... we actually still don't know who leaked it now that I think about it, but whoever leaked that decision beforehand, they sort of popped up. They put out this communique that was essentially stating, if you are somebody who is running a pro-life clinic or is part of the pro-life movement, I say pro-life, more anti-choice, if you're somebody who's part of the far right who's trying to sort of legislate this thing, or a lot of what they've done has been focused on these health clinics, which are actually essentially designed to sucker in people looking for prenatal health care or trying to get an abortion and then gaslight and get them to think not to do an abortion, often by lying about what abortion entails in the medical process. So most of their attacks so far have been against those kinds of facilities.
Maybe you can talk about that a little bit more, because I don't know about, like, in Europe, we just don't have that, you know, we don't have it. It's kind of like, essentially tricks women, right?
Yeah. So a lot of these really horrible facilities essentially popped up, and I don't know how far back they've gone, but I assume they go back to when abortion was first sort of legalized and was set up, because they're all associated with the far right movement, the evangelical movement, and they disguise themselves as pregnancy clinics, essentially. Mm. And they, they'll go under these really unassuming names, like 360 Health, for example, was one of the ones that was attacked, I believe. I've got a list here of who and where. But a lot of these clinics are set up and people go in, and if you're somebody who is looking for an abortion, they're called crisis pregnancy centers, right? So, or maybe pregnancy resource center, and it's essentially just what they do is they try to convince you not to have an abortion, and that's it. A lot of them don't offer any other kind of health care. They don't offer any kind of prenatal care. It's just bring them in and talk about how, oh, if you get an abortion, it's going to be... And they really play up a lot of the far-right lies about abortion, which are essentially, oh, it's going to destroy your reproductive system, you might never be able to have kids again. All totally lies, especially nowadays in the modern, when, you know, it's done safely and legally in places like Planned Parenthood or in independent clinics. So those are who Jane's Revenge have been primarily targeting, because it's sort of like a proportional response to what's been happening previously with actual abortion providing clinics, because the far right has been harassing those clinics for decades, if not outright assassinating people associated with those clinics or burning those clinics down, or just, you know, general terror bombing threats. So the terror tactics of the last 40 years directed against abortion clinics by the far right have been like a lot of bombing threats, assassinations of people who work there, harassing people who are trying to get in, sort of setting up to try and prevent anybody from going to any kind of clinic that provides abortion, sometimes not even in clinics that are primarily based around abortion. Planned Parenthood provides a variety of prenatal health care and other kinds of health care, but they'll still sort of have people set up to harass patients outside just to prevent them from going inside the building. And so with Jane's Revenge, you sort of see, okay, let's take those tactics and just, you know, sling them right back. You want to have a terror campaign that's been going on for decades without consequences? Okay, here's a consequence now. If this is going on and you're still operating, we are going to put a threat out there, because people who've been operating in abortion clinics and in pregnancy health clinics, even, that just happen to provide abortion, have been under threat for decades. And there have been lots of assassinations and murders going back essentially to when Roe v. Wade was decided, honestly, starting first as sort of lone wolf attacks with the name Army of God, and then slowly getting a bit more organized on the far right. And so this is essentially just, okay, we're going to do some of that too now. You are no longer safe. You know, the phrase that got tagged on a lot of these buildings that were being vandalized in the last month or so was, if abortions aren't safe, then neither are you. And it's, yeah, sort of a response to the general fuckery that has gone around trying to get people to, by any means necessary by the far right in America, to get abortion shut down.
Right. And they started off with this communique as well, right? Tell us about that.
Right. Yeah. So that communique was released sort of, let's see if they've got a website for it, but it was released and was essentially saying to all pregnancy care centers, to all of these people, we are going to, it essentially did two things. We're going to prove that we exist, and we're going to give you a warning that within a month, if you're still operating, then you are a potential target, right? So they did some taggings and some firebombings, and they did some vandalism, you know, all of that kinds of thing, just to sort of show, okay, yeah, we're here, we're around. And when Roe v. Wade is overturned, when that happens, we're going to start. The specific term they use is a night of rage, which is sort of a reference to back in the, a lot of Jane's Revenge is a reference to back in the 70s with sort of the Weathermen and the specific group Jane's Collective, which was a sort of associated with some radical feminist groups and provided abortions illegally when they were very heavily restricted, and it was a very dangerous time to be anybody who was looking for abortion, because, I mean, even in places like Chicago, Illinois, across the country, you still had them be banned. But essentially, Night of Rage was supposed to happen after the Roe v. Wade decision, and we're seeing some of the stuff coming out of that now. Not all of that has been entirely sorted out, so it's part of just normal protest behavior, and what's specifically being claimed by Jane's Revenge isn't clear. There was a center that was burned down in Colorado yesterday that was probably a part of that, but that communique was basically a statement of, we are going to apply these things that you've been doing to you. We are going to try and do all of these things to you, and, you know, general organize, get together, here's what you can do. And then 30 days later, another communique, which was essentially, you've seen, let's see, here's the quote. You have seen that we are real and that we are not merely pushing empty words. As we said, we are not one group, but many. And they've tagged and vandalized and burned down places all across the country. So in Wisconsin, Madison, they burned a place down. In Portland, Oregon, there was one of these crisis pregnancy centers was burned down. Vancouver, Washington crisis center was burned down. Buffalo, New York was burned down. A lot of it has also just been vandalism, spraying things on the walls of these places or splashing blood on the front of a crisis pregnancy center, smashing in doors, that kind of thing, you know, standard vandalism and tagging in that situation. But yeah, that's been where it is. And I mean, in the aftermath of Roe v. Wade, I can't imagine that they're going to stop, because they've put out a very clear message of, here's what we're going to do, and here is what you can do to not get targeted, which is basically shut down entirely. So I think it's fair to say that they're probably going to keep going, and they're going to pick up steam.
So when I first read the communique, and I kind of saw like, okay, they did like an arson attack, like this isn't just an internet thing. Then they were like, right, we're going to be back in a month or whatever. Now, I hadn't seen really anything. To be fair, I wasn't really looking out for it. But there has been like a series of continuation attacks, if you like, right?
Yeah. There have been a variety of attacks throughout the country. And the really interesting thing is that they've been like pretty far distributed across the country. It's not one of those, because there are some groups where they put out a communique and it's very clear that, oh, this is like a group of people in Portland, for example. Or there are things that happen that are concurrent with like a really big protest movement. Like you think about the police precinct getting burned down back in 2020. Those were, you know, you see things all over the country, but not necessarily, if it's organized, then it's usually in one place. And if it's all over the place, then it's usually with like a very large protest movement. So it's sort of interesting to see this group, which is obviously organized and obviously spread out across the country, but isn't really associated with like one big protest moment, because this was planned and organized beforehand.
Do you think, though, it sounds to me more likely that it's various different, perhaps disconnected cells using the name whilst doing these arsons and these things.
Right. Yeah. I think they're definitely disconnected cells. I don't think there's any one like Jane's Revenge leadership board, sure, or anything like that. And I think part of that is, you know, the big difference between the 70s and today is that it's a lot easier to do things in a disorganized fashion, and you don't have the same like Marxist Leninist fucking around with having everything being very centrally planned.
Right. There's a lot of anarchist graffiti as well, I've noticed, on the Jane's Revenge stuff. Like, they'll burn somewhere and then there's like Jane's Revenge, Anarchist A. Like, I'm guessing that's the kind of, you know, some level of ideology to it.
Yeah, there's definitely a level of ideology to it. I think there's always going to be some amount of opportunism. I highly doubt that all of these have been super planned out, but I think it is definitely people who are in similar communities, there's probably contact between people. But again, all of this is pretty anonymous. All of it is pretty far over the place. So it's difficult to say, because they've been very purposefully anonymous. I mean, they're definitely anarchists. You can start there, obviously, that the people who are doing this are definitely anarchists, definitely believe in direct action and that kind of thing. But beyond that, you know, it could be anybody. It could be anybody sort of going around. And, you know, if you want to frame that another way, it could be you or me, or, you know, I think it's sort of set up that way specifically. Yeah. Just to, you know, if you want to be somebody who's a part of Jane's Revenge, you could probably go out and find a pregnancy crisis center near you if you're in the United States, and you could tag it, and bam, there you are. You're part of Jane's Revenge. Congratulations. You know,
right.
I think it's set up to operate that way.
Yeah, and I mean, if history tells us anything, it's probably the kind of most effective way for someone to do something like that. Not saying they should, obviously. Not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying that is the way it would work if you were like, you know, if you were that kind of group inclined to do these things and not get caught. I think it's probably the most effective way. We've seen like decentralized movements generally kind of last a little bit longer, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And especially in the United States, I mean, you can see what all of these sort of like far right groups who you see, there's like one dude who gets caught and then he rats out all the others. And yeah, it's definitely, as a tactic, If you don't know who you're working with, then you can't really inform on anybody. And I think that's also part of it, because going back to like the Weathermen in the 70s, and a lot of the references for Jane's Revenge going back to the 70s with that group of the Weathermen and the specific group in Chicago that formed Jane's Collective, which it was an acronym for something. I don't remember what the acronym was, but they were sort of the people who started the original Jane's Collective that was doing that.
Yeah, well, let's go into the history of that, because Jane's Revenge is, like you said, it's an allusion to a different group, right? Maybe tell us about that.
Right, yeah. So back in from 1969 to 1973, which was sort of around the time when the original Roe v. Wade was being deliberated on. So there was Jane Roe, who was the anonymous person who was coming forth with the case in Jane Roe v. Wade. And then at the same time in Chicago, Illinois, while that was being deliberated on, the Chicago Women's Liberation Union, which was there, was offering the services of the Jane Collective, which was a lot more underground than the Chicago Women's Liberation Union was. So it was sort of like the underground portion of an above ground organization. And it was a very strong feminist organization. It was definitely part of the social democratic, Students Democratic, the SDS, Students for a Democratic Society. Yeah, there we go.
Weatherman kind of came out of, right?
Yes,
if anybody
exactly.
Doesn't know, the Weatherman was like a far left militant group across America, plenty of bombings. I don't believe they actually killed anyone, but they did a ton of bombings.
I think they primarily ended up killing themselves. I think there were a couple of bank robberies and things like that that had some, but you know, that entire milieu of the new left during the 1970s, very radical, very, and also very interesting, because the Weathermen, compared to a lot of the groups back then, like the Black Panthers Party, has had a very obvious and clear imprint in the American social imagination. People talk about like, oh, the Black Panthers all the time. But the Weathermen sort of like disappeared from American ideas of, you know, organization. I mean, Students for a Democratic Society also were very much sort of written off for a while until like back in... Yeah, they did. They definitely decided to infight into irrelevance. I think they only really became relevant or thought about when Democratic Socialists of America and the Bernie Sanders campaign back in 2016 became, and then suddenly people started talking about that again because they could draw a bit of connection. So the original Jane Collective, what they did was they provided abortions for people who were in places where they could not get them. And they were primarily in Illinois. They were based out of Chicago, but they were doing this very dangerous work. There's a documentary about them. It's on HBO if you have HBO, but I'm sure you can find it in other places as well. And it was a very dangerous time to be a person who was providing abortions, because it was something, in Illinois specifically, I believe it was a 10-year punishment for doing that. It was a felony, so you would be in prison for a very long time, and it would sort of follow you around for a while. So they were doing something that was pretty dangerous until Roe v. Wade passed and it was seen as a right, and that's when the group sort of shut down, because abortion was legal across the country. It was a constitutional right as defined in Roe v. Wade, and so, you know, the abortions are illegal. You don't need to have an underground group dedicated to providing them, because it's getting set up with actual facilities that would be safer and just a better place in general for people to go instead of getting it illegally. But they were around for about 4 years, 3 years, 1969 to 1973. So, yeah, they definitely had an impact. They were definitely... And you'll see this as well. There a lot of the groups who were sort of set up to do like anti-harassment at abortion clinics, who were trying to, you know, escort women in safely to those places, they'll go by the name the Janes.
Right.
I remember when I was younger, I did a bit of abortion clinic protection, and that the women who were organizing that went by the name The Chain. So it's definitely something that has stuck around much more clearly, especially since, you know, the woman who did it was going under the name Jane Monroe in that. So the name Jane essentially has been used in tandem with abortion politics for a very long time.
Right, and a ton of them got arrested, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people involved with that movement got arrested. With the Jane Collective specifically, I think there was something... I believe that there was a bit of a trial for a while, 1972. I think there was something of a bit of a sting, and then Roe v. Wade was decided, and the Abortion 7, that was the name of the trial. Abortion 7, so the trial, it was a bit of a show trial. Like, once Roe v. Wade was decided, the trial ended, which shows you essentially, you know, how that went down.
Let's talk about Roe versus Wade, because I'll be honest, like, as a Brit, as a European, like, I wasn't really aware of this stuff. Like, I really wasn't.
Right, yeah. So Roe v. Wade was the decision back in 1973. And it came from a pretty long case. So the first case of Roe v. Wade, it was brought to court in 1969, and then it sort of kept drifting upwards and going upwards until it got to the Supreme Court, who decided it in favor with Jane Roe, which was the anonymous name of the person who brought it to trial. And essentially the case was, somebody was seeking an abortion in Texas, and she was essentially suing for the right to have an abortion. And that was the case that got brought up the most. It was a very controversial decision, because the wording and the decision was about a shadow of implied rights in the Constitution, and originalists, the sort of very far right, you know, everything that's in the Constitution originally, word for word exactly, argue that the right to privacy does not imply the right to abortion, which was sort of how that got decided, that because a woman's body was being used by this person, not person, a fetus, obviously, but because the woman's body was being used, it sort of overlapped with a lot of constitutional terms in a couple of ways. There's a couple of decisions that were made. You know, the far right obviously was not a very big fan of it, but it made abortion a sort of constitutional right. That was the decision. It was a little bit like Brown versus Board of Education in that way, in that it was a constitutional decision by the Supreme Court that massively changed federal law in the United States, just by dint of the fact that it was declaring a specific thing constitutional or unconstitutional.
So it basically said that there's like, when the law came in, it's like anyone, no matter which, because obviously different states have different laws and the way they manage them. But it basically, as far as I understand, it was a blanket that said every woman in any state has the right to abortion, right?
Yes, exactly. It argued that abortion was a constitutional right. So when Jane Roe was filing this case, she was filing against the district attorney of Dallas County, Texas, and she essentially said it, being forced to carry a pregnancy to term against her will was a violation of her 1st, 4th, 5th, 9th, and 14th Amendment rights. And so 1st Amendment is obviously freedom of speech and assembly. And the outcome of that was, so 14th Amendment is due process clause, and a woman's right to choose to have an abortion falls within that right to privacy, was that decision essentially. So the 14th Amendment was about the right to privacy, and if a doctor has to intervene in order to say that a woman is justified to get an abortion, then they were saying that that violates the right to privacy.
Why has this been repealed now? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's been repealed essentially because the Supreme Court got a far-right majority and they decided they didn't like it anymore. The actual argument around that is, it goes back to sort of the idea of originalism. So there's been a very long and sustained attempt to get this ideology of originalism, which means everything that was written down in the Constitution has to be interpreted in exactly the way that the founding fathers intended it, right? So it doesn't mean that you can just read the Constitution of the United States and see like, oh, okay, so that would sort of imply this, this, and this from a modern perspective. They argue that no, you have to use the very old school, very, you essentially have to imagine that you're a white slave owner in the United States who's reading the Constitution if you want to apply and interpret it, is basically, and since that position is what all of these justices, the five justice majority in that repeal held, they essentially said, well, the right to privacy did not literally originally mean a woman's right to not have a fetus in her body. So therefore, we do not agree with this decision and we're going to overturn it as part of process. And I think Brown versus Board of Education and Plessy v. was also a sort of overturning as well in regards to Plessy v. Ferguson. Let me see here. Because the first, like we've had the court overrule prior decisions before. So Plessy v. Ferguson was the original ruling that said racial segregation laws did not violate the U.S. Constitution as long as, even though they were separate but equal. And then Brown versus Board of Education, which came also in the 60s, so about like 50 or so years later, was a case that went up, and then the Supreme Court overturned that previous decision. So in terms of like the sort of legal arcana, overturning a decision that the United States Supreme Court has made in the past is not something that is new. But the way that it is being justified, the ideology of originalism, kind of is. It is fairly new. It is really associated with the resurgent right and the evangelical right. And you saw some of this when people were arguing over justices getting confirmed. There was a specific organization that they were with that Trump was sort of picking people from. And they were sort of these judges. And judges are supposed to be nonpartisan in the United States, as I'm sure they are in most countries. So the society that these judges were a part of was this, I think it was the Constitutionalist Society was the name of it. And they were essentially judges who said, yes, we believe that it has to be literally how it was set out in the Constitution back in the 1700s, and you have to apply these laws by how other people would construe or interpret them back in that time period. And so they're obviously very closely associated with the conservative edge of politics. They're very closely associated with a lot of the Supreme Court rulings that have gone through, and you know, there is a conservative and a liberal side to the court. We like to pretend that, you know, everybody who gets nominated to the court is very apolitical, but
it's just impossible. I hate when people do stuff like that. It's like the only way to do that would be like if they were robots or something. Like, it's just not possible.
Exactly. And every single judge that has been nominated has been asked, and every single one of these judges who voted to overturn this decision as well, all of them were called up to the stand and asked by Democrats during the questioning process, will you overturn Roe v. Wade? And they essentially all said, oh, this is a settled decision. It's been that way for 50 years. We're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade. You can trust us. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then, you know, 2022, once they got the majority. Yeah, out it went, essentially. As soon as they had the opportunity and ability, they went for it, and they're probably going to overturn a couple of other things in the next few weeks as well. I think there's an EPA ruling that they might use to overturn the regulation of greenhouse gases and a lot of federal regulation of the environment in general. So yeah, it's just a mess. The Supreme Court is a mess right now, and it has a majority of people who are very much willing to use their power to further a very conservative far-right agenda.
So there's been a few protests over all this already, right?
Yes, there have been protests across the country, which have essentially been in response to this. A lot of them got set up, and you've probably seen some of the protests in downtown LA. There was a pretty big protest. They were on the highway and shut things down. In Arizona, there was a protest, and you know, they brought out the tear gas, and it's not as big or anything like back in 2020, but there have definitely been people coming out and protesting, and I'm sure a lot of those people are the kinds of people who would be, you know, potential recruits for a group like Jane's Revenge, or who would want to be a part of that. But plenty of it is just people coming out with signs and, you know, doing the typical liberal faffing about.
Yeah, fuck fucking off, blah blah, those twee fucking signs that do nothing. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I think in Rhode Island, there was an incident where one woman who was running for the state legislature, she actually was at a protest, and her opponent in the primary, who was a cop, he went over and he punched her in the face for being at this protest. That was about cops and violence, probably. That guy was an ex-cop. But it's also just, there's just a total breakdown in a lot. Like, somebody in Iowa got run over by a car while they were protesting. Just all around awful, really, for anybody who's going out and protesting, because the far right has a lot of impunity in what they do. I mean, I mentioned earlier that there was that terrorist campaign running for decades by the anti-choice right. That effectively operated with impunity for most of the institutional actors who were letting it happen, you know, the churches and these pregnancy centers and all of this bullshit. They had a really effective strategy of, you know, we're going to do this by bullet. If we can't get what we want legislatively, so we're going to kill people. And then we're also going to do things by ballot legislatively, and we're going to make this a hot button issue. And if people are not willing to support it, at least on paper, then we are going to. That was part of the Tea Party and part of the sort of Fox News, you know, broadcasting. Was dragging people much, much further to the right on the issue of abortion. But yeah, there's just so much impunity for what the far right does violently across the United States in general. There's so much institutional cover for the people who are doing those kinds of things.
There was a lot of killings back then, right? And if I remember, I watched the documentary about, I think it's, what's it called? I can't remember. It's the one that's all shot in black and white. It's very good. But anyway, there were like nail bombings and all sorts, right?
Yeah. There was a lot of abortion terror. There was a pretty famous case of a man who operated an abortion center in Kansas. And this was back in 2009. He was assassinated for providing medical care for people. And even on the smaller end thing of anti-abortion activism, you have people who will just harass people out of not going into that. I think I mentioned that earlier. And they're definitely, like, they're an enormous domestic terrorist threat. It's just, you know, operated for decades. And part of the reason it's, they started using the name Army of God, like back in the 80s, that was sort of like the first anonymous thing that were people trying to get this campaign of terror. So they tried to murder George Tiller. That was the person I mentioned earlier, the guy who ran that abortion clinic. That dude went through a lot of murder attempts because he was in Kansas and running that. Just for years, people were shooting at him, trying to kidnap him, that kind of thing. But Army of God specifically was a underground terrorist organization that was anti-abortion, enormous amount of violence associated with them. They did a lot of assassinations. They did a lot of shrapnel bombings. So that was in 1997, they shrapnel bombed abortion clinics in Atlanta and Birmingham, which are in Alabama and Georgia, respectively. Or the other way around, Atlanta, Georgia, and Birmingham, Alabama. So yeah, they've been around for years, and they have just been rehabilitated by the Republican Party. They've been really dragged into, I honestly don't think that there is a far-right terror organization in the United States that the Republican Party does not like. They certainly want their votes and that kind of thing, and they will probably get more integrated in the future if things keep developing the way that they are developing. But yeah, I think Jane's Revenge is the first group that has really showed up and said, okay, this thing that you've been doing for 40 years, we're going to do it back. You don't get to do these things and enact this violence and support it tacitly and just get away with it anymore. So there's response now. There's like an actual response to that violence. And it's honestly been merited for a very, very long time. It's sort of surprising that this has only turned up and had a response now in the aftermath of Roe v. Wade, as opposed to just literally 40 years of terrorism that has been enacted against people who are trying to provide healthcare. And there has not been anything remotely proportional in response to that by people on the left. And you can argue if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's definitely surprising that it took this long for people to just say, okay, we are going to turn this back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In terms of this Jane's Revenge, I mean, I think it's accurate to say, whilst it's early days, it's essentially like a kind of, I guess, like a pro-choice militant group, if you like, cells, right?
Yeah, definitely a pro-choice.
I mean, it is militant because they've done arsons. They're carrying out actual attacks. Okay, an arson isn't a bombing, but it's still an attack of a sort. It's politically minded. They've burnt down these abortion clinics and the fake ones, the ones where it's like pro-life, yeah. Trick women into not getting abortions.
Yeah. Pregnancy crisis.
That's right. Yeah, sorry. Do you think that... I don't know, you're clearly very clued into this. Is there like an appetite for this, do you think, more now? Are people like, yeah, this is the way forward? Do you think that's, you know, this is going to carry on, or is it a flash?
I think there's definitely more of an appetite with Roe v. Wade being overturned. I think that's one of those things, especially in states where people just no longer can access abortions. People have to deal with these bans and that kind of thing. I think that's definitely a very radicalizing thing to have happen to people. There was something that people freaked out about it on Twitter, and they talked about it. Oh, this is an op. This is the cops. They're trying to indict people. And the clearly, you know, if this is the feds, they're spending way too much time and money on something just to try and entrap people. And I highly doubt it. There's been nothing associated with arrest. It's been all over the place, using a variety of tactics. So, you know, and also obviously Fed brain is poisonous to everybody in activism.
Well, if it is an op, it's quite a quiet one, really. Like, it's not to say this Jane's Revenge haven't done anything. Not clearly we've covered that they have, but it would be quite a quiet way of starting it.
Yes, it would be very, very silly. People freaked out because they were using, you know, they used cursive in their tags as sort of like a bit of a jokey, cutesy way of, you know, juxtaposing this radical action with cursive graffiti. And people were like, oh, you wouldn't actually use cursive if you were tagging, as if there's one specific logical way that anybody ever tags anything, you know, and just a mess. But I definitely think that there's obviously an appetite for it. It's happened all across the country. And I think it would be something very surprising to me if you did not see more of this going forward, just because it has been so repeatedly proven that the Democratic Party has not been doing this institutionally, that democracy is getting dismantled in a lot of ways by Republican parties in various states, and they're going to try at the federal level. I would not be surprised if Republicans win the midterms if they try to put in like an actual national abortion ban. I'm pretty sure that's on their docket if they're able to get into it. So yeah, it's definitely going to keep going. It's one of those things that's, and again, very interesting, because This is calling back to a very old and specific and very much like terrorist, if you want to use that word. I mean, it's more militant than it is terrorist. They haven't murdered anybody. So they're, you know, they still have a lower body count than any person who claims themselves to be pro-life in the United States has. But it's definitely much more radical than we've seen before, even with Black Lives Matter or the new Black Panther Party. Those have definitely been more self-defense and protesting groups. You haven't seen the same organized idea of cells. So it's definitely, in one sense, it's long overdue. In another sense, it is definitely an escalation of what people are willing to get involved with in politics.
Yeah, it's definitely, for me, I think I kind of, my ears pricked up a little bit when I saw it, because it wasn't like, oh yeah, we're going to this protest and here's our Twitter and here's a 50 tweet thread about blah blah. It was like, no, we've already done something and here's the communique, like, see you later. Like, which I found was, maybe I'm wrong, I don't, like I said, I don't spend too much attention on it, but it did seem like yeah, like you're saying, like a more of the old school U.S. Militancy from that side of things.
Yeah. It's kind of refreshing in a way to see people not posting a bunch of shit on Twitter just to like have it be done instead of having people argue about whether or not this is a thing that has happened. But it's definitely, I don't know, it's just one of those things. You see a lot of this on the left wing in the United States where a lot of the radicalization or the polarization or whatever you want to call it happens in response and reaction to the ongoing radicalization of the right wing in America and what they're willing to do with institutions in this country. I think it's definitely driving further. I think it's going to drive other people further as well. I think because when you talk about Roe v. Wade is something that affects so many people in the United States, and it is something that going into effect just, it's one of the very near and dear for a lot of people who are not traditionally activists in the sense you would think of in terms of, you know, doing sort of direct action or firebombing property. It's one of those things, you know, and you saw a lot of people post this, if they repeal Roe v. Wade, we will riot, that sort of thing. And I don't think the riots have delivered yet, but, you know, I think there are a lot more people who would be willing to do this kind of thing because abortion is such a particular issue and because it is such a threat to people's health, and it is so directly just forcing people into a either you get this or you die situation. I think because of that, and it's definitely something that, you know, what else are you gonna do, vote for Nancy Pelosi again after she's had 20 years in power?
Well, she don't need votes anymore, man. She's balling. She's got insider trading, everything. She's loving life, you know?
I don't think she needs votes, and she's in San Francisco. She hasn't had to worry about an actual challenger in decades, I'm sure. Right. They've basically locked it down as the party machine.
But it's funny, but it's a good point. It's like, it reminds me of that, it was that clown, I think Reza Aslan, when he was like, we burned the whole thing down when that other lady, like Ruth Ginsburg, died or whatever the hell. It's like, yeah, bro, you're going to do nothing. Like, also, why would you for that? But it's like, I think it's a good point because it's like, well, yeah, there's that side of things, the recreationally outraged and the, but then like Jane's Revenge, like you've said, quietly have been doing stuff this whole time. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's definitely interesting, I think.
Right. And the fact that you haven't heard about it probably means that they're a lot more effective than half
right,
of the people
actually, yeah.
You do hear about on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You're not hearing about anybody getting dragged out of a U-Haul with Jane's Revenge.
All right, Sasha. Is there anything else you wanna talk about before we wrap this one up?
All right. If you're in the United States, or even if you're not, and you want to donate money to an abortion fund in a place where people have just had their rights stripped away, you should definitely do that. If you're somebody who's able to volunteer with your local abortion health provider or pregnancy health provider, they need people to protect their patients, and that's something that you can do. So look into that if, you know, health and human rights, and not letting crazy people in churches who think that we're all going to hell defining what healthcare is in this country is important to you. And yeah, that's about it. And if abortions aren't safe, then neither are you.
It's funny how they don't care about like pro-life when they're like dropping bombs on like kids. Like in Yemen or wherever, you know, it's like very quiet then.
It's the wrong kind of life. There was this lady who was introducing Trump recently, and she was like, "This has been such a victory for white life in the United States," and way to go, super fucking mask off. Yeah. She's also somebody who said that Hitler was right about one thing, which I'm sure she believed a lot more than one thing was right about Hitler based on that statement alone.
Yeah, why is that even on your mind? Like, what the fuck? All right, so where can people get hold of you online or look at your work if they want to, or argue with you, or whatever the fuck that you'll get from this?
Yeah, if you want to find me online, I'm on Twitter at Searshatui. It's just my name.
Spell that, because people ain't from our extraction, man. They ain't gonna know how to spell that.
Right, Saoirse Tooheuy, if you want to find me on Twitter. I'm looking for work. I'm between jobs. If you listen to this and you're like, "Oh, hey, she sounded smart and educated, maybe I could pay her to do a thing," I'll take any money you give me to do any work you want to give me. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I will definitely vouch for you, man. We've been speaking a long time. You're very smart on this. So thanks for coming on.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll speak soon, and take care. Yeah. That was researcher Saoirse Tooheuy speaking about Jane's revenge and why they might become a lot more relevant due to the Roe versus Wade situation, where it's been repealed in the US. Very dark times ahead for a lot of women, unfortunately. A lot of men as well. It's going to affect everybody. Fucked up. If you like what we're doing here at Popular Front, please do consider supporting us at patreon.com/popularfront. We do not accept corporate funding from anybody. That is the only way we stay afloat. Well, Patreon and the merchandise. If you want to get a nice t-shirt, popularfront.shop. But yeah, support us, patreon.com/popularfront. There's loads more extra content on there for you for as little as $5 a month. It's really not a lot to keep things moving forward. The more people there are, the more we have on Patreon, obviously, the more we can do. And I think it's been very clear, as the Patreon increases over the years, we've done a ton more stuff. So yeah, patreon.com/popularfront or popularfront.co/support. Thank you to the sponsors. This episode, they are Oracle Coffee Shop in Portland, Oregon, USA. They're an independent coffee business selling only fair trade products. See them at 3875 Southwest Bond Avenue, 97239. They are Grindcore House, a pair of independent coffee shops in Philadelphia, USA, one in South, one in West. Find them on socials at Grindcore House. And also Propagandopolis, an outlet selling and writing about historical conflict propaganda from around the world. You can buy prints at propagandopolis.com. Use the promo code PopularFront10 for 10% off. On Propagandopolis, there is a poster on there. It's the poster for our new documentary, Frontline Hooligan, a documentary that shows the life of anti-fascist football hooligans in Ukraine who are now fighting the Russian invasion. The poster looks extremely cool. It's by our guy Adam Doyle, or Spice Bag, as some of you will know him. Yeah, you can get that poster. I think it's 10 quid, 15 quid maybe, £15, I'm not sure. I can't remember, but yeah, one of those two. And all of the profits go to Hoods Hoods Clan, the anti-fascist football hooligans in question. They need money for medical supplies. They're trying to help civilians with an ambulance, I believe. So yeah, definitely check that out, propagandopolis.com. If you want to follow us on social media, Instagram at popular.front, Twitter at popularfront_, subscribe to our YouTube, youtube.com/popularfront. YouTube is censoring us very heavily right now, age restricting our documentaries, actually going against their own guidelines. I've looked into it and spoken to people that would know there. So they're actually going against their own guidelines by doing this. But that's the way it is. We live in this fucking tech censorship hellhole world. So there you go, youtube.com/popularfront. Oh yeah, and in a bid to drive traffic to our YouTube, actually, we got a TikTok account. Now, I was always like, fuck TikTok, like, it's for kids. But actually, there's a lot of people on there. And there's already a lot of Popular Front content on there already, I didn't realize. So we set up a TikTok just to basically You know, try and get people to see the footage, go, what, who's this? And then go to our YouTube. It's tagged on everything, all of our YouTube addresses on every video there. We just post up our own like clips from our documentaries, stuff like that. If you've got TikTok, go on it. It's I believe the handle is at popular.front, so it's like the Instagram. So yeah, tiktok.com/@popular.front. Share our videos, whatever, help it spread. We're not really active on there, but yeah, like our stuff is on there, so yeah. If you want to listen to the music of Popular Front, you can now do so on Spotify. So if you look up Sam Black PF, that is the artist. Obviously the music is by Sam Black, our music producer. Listen to his music at samblackpf.com to see all of his stuff. But on Spotify and Apple and everything now, Sam Black's music is on there. Slowly it's uploading. We're using a service called Ditto Music, which is an abomination. It's awful, but it is slowly getting up there. So yeah, I think the Plastic Defense soundtrack is up there. The Frontline Hooligans soundtrack will be up there by the end of this month. Yeah, so there's a lot more coming. Do share it, put it in your playlist, all of that shit. Sam has been making music for us for 4 years straight now, just constantly churning out bangers. He really deserves the recognition. If you like, well, oh yeah, and the intro home, the intro beat as always is by an artist called Home. Look him up, synthwave artist. If you want to support us again, patreon.com/popularfront. Thank you very much to the higher tier Patreons. They are Wizard Actual, Claire Hofbauer, Benjamin Topper, Chongus Bongwater, Cameron Collins, Nutty, Q Loves Cape Farts, Nicholas Blomberg, Matthew Diffley, Noah Schmidt, Jane Millichip, Claire, Liana, Sean, Christianovich, NTHG, Ethan Zwick, Champagne Anarchist, Elise Middlefart, David McManus, Joachim Williamson Holt, Yudoye Travis, Ikta K, Tom Petrie, James Leons, Lisa Milgram, Bradley Davies, No Dogs, No Amsters, Brendan Crave, B, Drift, Pete Hesher, RX, Tiki Lover, Cherry, Ben Marshall, Dallas Dunn, Shikhar Gupta, LD50 Seattle, K Glitter Vulcan, Meredith Waters, Bethany Swerveland, Adam H, Ryan Barbadillo, Derivative Fool, Bolala Water, Larson 8669, Karante, Bjorn Kirsten, Diamond Steen, Michael O'Connor, Jack Doherty, Nicholas Butter, JD, Jav, Ian Froese, James Cully, Anil Dingus, Tynan Daly, Ethan, Shanklin the Painter, Fitzmadrid, Ed Coulthard, Mike Barone, Ben, Scott Hopton, Liam Williams, Chris Cusimano, Degenerate Zero Alpha, Giorgio Arani, DR, Trey Nance, Amy R, Rubicon, Frank Austin, Amelia Mee, Nawa Ease, Nate Van Dor, Christina Rivetti, Freya Northman, Noah, Andrew Hurley, Vida Provost, Brian McLaughlin, Tom Lochrin, Young Wasabi, Tony Bin, Adam Bergsnyder, JL, Stephen Davila, Dan Dunham, Fletcher, Chad Walker, Diana Govanek, Lawrence Abrahams, What Bitcoin Did with Peter McCormick, Christopher Martin, Ryan Sandercock, and Maurice Zumbul. Thank you all so much for supporting. Please continue to support Popular Front, patreon.com/popularfront.